Just recently, we visited with the top scientist at Oregon's Geology Agency about landslides and how our wrinkled and frequently wet part of the world is prone to landslides. You don't have to tell our next guests. Their jobs are all about focusing on a particular set of landslides in Del Norte County. They work for the California Department of Transportation, Caltrans, and those landslides lie under the last chance grade on US 101 in Del Norte County. Plans to fix the grade are well underway, more like plans to move the highway. But as you'll hear, it's not a simple process. There are public meetings on the North Coast this week. You'll hear about those, too. Our guests are Sebastian Cohen, who's the Last Chance Grade Project Manager. Sebastian, welcome.
Good morning.
And Miles Cochran is with us as well. He's the Caltrans District 1 Public Information Officer. Welcome, Miles.
Hey, thank you so much. Good morning.
So to start off with, where is the Last Chance Grade, and how did it get that name?
Well, there's several theories as to how it got that name. There's one thought out there that it's on a bluff that's so high, it turns a corner right before you turn into the redwoods, and it's your last chance to see the ocean on this bluff. So we'll go with that one for now. There's no other good one out there. It sounds pretty good to me.
It seems like sort of appropriate name for a place that's causing this much trouble. How unstable is that area, Sebastian?
Well, it's quite unstable. It's actually a series of landslides with several that are nested within much larger landslides. It's part of the Franciscan complex, and there's two different formations within that, and the Broken Formation is the one where we're seeing the most movement right now, and that's essentially two different slides within that. And we're seeing, because it's the Broken Formation, it's moving kind of independent of itself. It's got different blocks that are moving at different rates. But we are seeing movement, let's say, on 31 inches in the last 5 to 6 months.
31 inches in 5 to 6 months?
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot of movement.
Yes.
So what's happening to the roadway and the structures around it?
So, the segment is about 3 miles long of last chance grade, 3 to 4, depends on how you characterize it. Last chance grade, the slides themselves are about 2 miles long. They're moving rather fast.
So, yeah, in regards to what's happening to the roadway, though, we've seen a lot of slip outs in the area. In addition to that, a lot of cracks, over the years. What else, Sebastian?
In terms of what we've seen?
Yeah, just what's happening to the roadway there.
Well, we put in 8 walls right now, and we have 2 more that are planned to go in this summer.
All right, so that's clearly maintenance costs are getting up there. How far out of whack with what you'd expect for normal maintenance on a stretch of road like this?
Pretty extreme. Since 1980, we've spent about $40 million total, and that's our field maintenance as well as capital, so those walls I talked about. So, we're talking many factors above what you normally see on a stretch of roadway. Now, we have lots of landslides around our district, so we're used to seeing this, but this kind of breaks the mold. $40 million since the 80s is a lot of money, and lots of emergency response work and lots of emergency dollars have been spent.
Has the road been closed much because you needed to, or at least the lane closed here and there because you needed to?
We've never had any full closures, which is pretty amazing, and that is kind of because what I was talking about before, the Broken Formation, it moves a lot, but it doesn't move so much that we can't respond and keep the road open. So lots of, like, one-lane closures, but we've really had, since the 70s, no full closures of multiple days or anything like that. So while it's been, a huge challenge for us, our maintenance forces and our emergency contractors have done a great job responding, but it has been a lot of work, but no full closures, which is really amazing.
It seems like anybody from outside the area would probably say, well, I can see an easy answer here, just move the road, but that's not an easy answer for a number of reasons. What are those?
No, it's not. And really, this is located near the town of Klamath, between Klamath and Crescent City, and we did a study back in 2000, and we actually found about 200 landslides in between Crescent City and the town of Klamath. So that is a lot of landslides. And, of course, we're right adjacent and within national and state parks, several significant resources, of course, old-growth redwood, marbled murrelet, but several other species. You have to worry about fish in some of the streams, so you worry about watershed impacts. there's several issues at play in terms of finding a realignment. And we've been studying several initial studies, I should say. You know, we started out looking at what's feasible. We've done a feasibility report, and we started out with 14 different alternatives. And we've tentatively, you know, brought that down to 6 alternatives and 1 no-build alternative. So we're looking at 7 right now, and we're looking for money to be able to fund the project so we can move forward and start studies.
We're talking about alternatives to the last chance grade on U.S. 101 between Crescent City and Klamath on the North California coast with Sebastian Cohen, who's the project manager for Last Chance Grade. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Your questions and comments on this issue are welcome at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. If you have some of your own experiences to share about driving over that grade and some things you've noticed there, we'd like to hear those as well. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So of the 6 alternatives that would include some action here, even without worrying about sensitive trees and sensitive critters around there, is the land under any of these alternatives appreciably more stable than the current alignment?
Well, yes. Yeah. Where we're at right now is very unstable. It's moving a lot. While there are other landslides in the other areas we're looking at, there's engineering solutions. They're feasible to put a highway there and mitigate such a landslide. So they're kind of like much smaller nested landslides that we're used to seeing, that we can build a retaining wall, and we know we can stabilize it. We can calculate the load. We can build a structure that retains it. Under Last Chance Grade, you know, the failure plane is so deep, it's such a huge landslide, that we just cannot build a realistic engineered solution. So it's kind of one of those where the best is to get away from it. And of those 6 build alternatives that we've kind of tentatively analyzed or are looking at, they all have, you know, basically problems that we can mitigate.
All right, so we're talking about a range of alternatives here that go from doing nothing to I would assume there's one that would be the most aggressive and the most expensive. So what would that involve?
Well, there are some, you know, we started out looking at some that were upwards of 15 miles, you know, some that are right around a mile all the way up to 15 miles. Well, the ones that are 15 miles, we've gotten rid of those. Again, that's when we went from 14 alternatives down to 7. We're currently looking at, you know, anywhere in the 9-mile range down to 1-mile tunnel. One of the shortest is a tunnel that would be 1 mile. And I should point out that we do have tunnels in several of the alternatives as options.
And what kinds of issues do you have with tunnels going through an area of unstable land? Although I'd assume you're looking for tunnels in areas where the land is less unstable.
Tunnels are significant, and a lot of study needs to be done before you can, you know, for sure say that a tunnel can go there. But a tunnel is a good solution for, especially on a ridge line, of limiting the amount of cut and fill quantities that a project needs to deal with, limiting your impacts. But there are lots of locations where we can't put a tunnel, so cut and fill is necessary.
I noticed that some of the tunnel alternatives are actually cheaper when you look at the price tags than some of the non-tunnel alternatives.
Yeah, that's because of the overall length. You know, constructing a tunnel length, you know, mile per mile is much more expensive, but if the alignment overall ends up being cheaper, it's a much better option. But tunnels, to nail down tunnels to make sure they're feasible, it takes a lot more studies. You have to essentially drill the entire alignment, and you need funding to do that. So these are tentative.
Now, when we looked at the original range of alternatives, you know, there was sort of like A1, A2, A3, and so forth, right down further into the alphabet. It looks like the B, D, and E alternatives are already off the table.
Yeah.
And not in this last set of 6. What were the issues with those?
Essentially, they didn't buy us anything that the other ones, the shorter ones, couldn't get us. So why spend more money with more impacts? So there's no reason to go 15 miles when you can do it in 9 or 8 miles and have essentially less impact.
All right. Is there a preferred alternative of this final set of 6?
No, you can't make that. You can't have a preferred alternative until you have to do studies. You know, we need funding so we can move forward with specific studies, go through the environmental analysis, go, you know, comply with NEPA and CEQA, analyze everything, a lot of environmental process, a lot of environmental studies, a lot of geotechnical studies to make sure that the slopes that we'd be talking about would hold, to make sure that the tunnels that we're talking about that we tentatively said could possibly go there will work.
Miles Cochran,
for a while.
Okay, Miles Cochran, come in here if you would, and just give us an idea of throughout District 1. First of all, give us an idea how big the district is and how complicated this project at Last Chance Grade is compared to others you might have within District 1.
Well, it's an absolutely unique project. It's very rare. But yeah, District 1 is Humboldt County, Del Norte County, Lake, and Mendocino. So four counties in Northern California here. And what I do want to say, though, from what I just heard, Sebastian's right. There are so many federal, state, and other regulations related to this project, you know, regarding the environmental process and the design process, the permitting process. What I want to say is Caltrans is not dragging their feet. We are doing this as fast as we legally can. And, yeah, we're working with all of these stakeholder groups to find a feasible solution for the area.
But we're talking about the design and permitting phase, not even starting for 10 years, perhaps.
Yeah, and that's all due to legal regulations at this point.
When it comes down to funding, if we could get money, we could start sooner. And, you know, if we are able to meet some emergency kind of triggers, we could apply for emergency funding, and we're looking at that on a constant basis, because that would allow us to get possibly emergency funding, which we still have to go through all of the studies. You still have to go through the NEPA and CEQA, the environmental process. You still have to do all of your geotechnical studies that we were talking about. But you'll have money to do that. Right now, you know, trying to find money, as we all know, transportation dollars are hard to get these days. So for a highway that's open, looking for upwards of $1 billion, you know, our dollar estimates for all the alternatives range anywhere from, you know, the currently 500 to a little over a billion, 500 million to a little over a billion is a significant range. And for a section of highway that isn't closed, it is a challenge to get. But we are currently working with several agencies. We have several working groups, like Miles talked about. We've been working with Congressman Huffman. He put together a stakeholders group. We have a biological resources group that's working, and that includes all of the environmental agencies that we, you know, basically have to acquire permits and work with. We have, of course, our internal specialists that are, you know, multidisciplinary. We have geologists and engineers. And then we have we've set up an official partnering agreement with the parks and the three local Native American tribes that are in this area. And that's been a big help to get everyone like that on board early. So we are working, we're doing a lot of things ahead of schedule that we normally would do once we've acquired funding. So the hope here is that once we get money, we're kind of able to hit the ground running.
Sebastian Cohen and Miles Cochran are with Caltrans. We're talking about fixing Last Chance Grade, which sits on a series of landslides under Highway 101, U.S. 101, between Crescent City and Klamath. There are meetings coming up this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, in Eureka, Crescent City, and Klamath, respectively. In Eureka, it'll be 5:30 on Tuesday at the Warfinger Building, Crescent City, 5:30 on Wednesday at the Fairgrounds, Klamath on Thursday at 3:30 at the Yurok Tribal Office. What will be discussed at these meetings, Sebastian? Are these just scoping meetings or presentations or both?
So it's kind of, we want to really, it's more communication with everyone out in the community. It's to educate people about what we're doing right now. It's to educate them about what we're doing to find money and get their input in terms of what they want. We know everyone wants it fixed now. They want it fixed yesterday. They're concerned about the movement that they see out there, because we do have a lot of movement occurring. And we have responded with a small-scale emergency project. And I say small, that's relative to what's needed to fix the entire landslide, which is essentially, again, a realignment. But we've responded with a $4 million contract to repair one of our retaining walls that we have out there. It currently spans two of the slides that spans the break in between them. So it started failing. We've had to respond with this emergency contract So the community sees a lot of work going on out there. They want to know what's going on, so we want to update them about that. And we've done a lot of proactive measures to monitor the site. We put in a near real-time monitoring system is what we call it, and it's basically several sensors that are out there. And if they move more than some set criteria, we get immediately notified. There's some in the road. There's some at various positions on the slope. And what that will do is, again, let us know if there's a significant deformation that maintenance needs to respond to, or whether or not we need to close the roadway. But it also is going to provide us good data to move forward with to make a case for money from some funding program. So especially, again, going back to emergency funding, you know, a lot of people are applying pressure for us to seek emergency funding. And emergency funding is very challenging to get. But with more data and showing that the movement rate has increased, which is what we're seeing, hopefully that will help us get some funding.
Well, I was going to ask, what constitutes an emergency? Does it take 101 actually falling down the hill to get that kind of emergency access?
Well, you need to have a significant threat to essentially essential services, human life, property, or the roadway has to be closed. Right now, because the roadway is not closed and we don't feel that the road is going to, you know, a kind of a significant failure will occur that cars can't traverse, that it really doesn't meet that criteria. We're working with Federal Highways right now in analyzing the site and trying to show them kind of how much movement we're seeing and whether or not an emergency application can move forward.
All right. If that were the case, it would certainly speed things up. We're talking at this point on the current timeline of construction beginning perhaps in 2031, so not a fast process as it currently stands. Meetings again this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Eureka, Crescent City, and Klamath. Those are on our website, jeffexchange.org. Sebastian Cohen is the Last Chance Grade Project Manager, and Miles Cochran is the Caltrans District 1 Public Information Officer. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.